Okay, so let's drill down a little bit on the guy's side. No qualifiers, and I haven't looked at my final results, and I know there was one of the male sprinters was disqualified. So in my head, I've bumped everyone up a spot, but I think we had Logan in maybe 53rd and Kevin in 55th off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Or 54th. They were back to back.
Yeah.
So a tough day. Yeah. And Ben Saxton a little bit behind them. So a tough day for the guys. I'm just kind of curious how you're managing that and keeping their head in it.
Yeah. I mean, there's no painting it other than what it is. It was just a bad day. I don't think the skis were the problem. I think they all just admit that both Logan and Kevin just felt like they didn't get it going. And Ben, on the other hand, had a really fast, maybe even eighth place split at 0.7K, which, you know, if you're going to ski fast, you got to ski fast for at least a part of the course. And so I'm never regretful of a person who takes it out too hot and at least tries. I've always admired the Prefontaine style, and Benny went for it. I think he, you know, maybe fell apart a little bit, of course, on the second climb because of it. Maybe it was a pacing issue, but like to see the aggressive effort. But what these three have in common is they just flew over from the U.S. and it's unquestionably a disadvantage to just be moving back and forth. And these are hard starts to qualify for. And when you get one, you don't want to pass it up. But there's a huge advantage to athletes that can just be in Europe and stay in Europe and don't have to go home to re-qualify or to clear up their headspace a little bit or to save money. There's a huge advantage to just stay here. And I'm not really pointing to any of these athletes saying that that's what they should have done, but it just reminds us again how hard it is to be covering six time zones and then 4 days later racing, or nine time zones in Logan's case, or 10 time zones. So it's a tough feat. I think these three guys, Ben, Logan, and Kevin, are in great shape, but you can be flat and that can overrule fitness on any day, and I think that's what we saw today.
Okay. Two more things. One is, I'm just making the assumption, I haven't really, you know, and Simi is very discreet on social media, which is wise. But is he just sort of like ensuring that he's just 100% before he jumps back on the scene?
You know, he had a pretty big, I'll just sort of spoil his discreet social media behavior. He had a disc flare up the other day, and it's something that he flew back to the U.S. to recoup over a tweaked groin muscle, his adductor in one of his legs, right before the Tour de Ski flared up, and we decided it was going to be a dangerous move to start the tour. So sent him home. That got better, but he woke up one morning with a really fired up neck. And we're not really sure. There was no acute incident that happened. Discs and I think it's radiculating pain can be really hard to pinpoint what caused, but that flared up again after our travel day from our camp in Seyfeld. He trained really well for that camp, did a couple full gas workouts with increasing range of motion in his neck, working with our PT, and things were looking on track, and then travel day and flare up. So that's where we are. We're hopeful for the tour, but frankly, there's a good chance that he won't be starting that either.
Okay. Bummer. Okay. Okay. One last question is, and not that it created quite a stir, but people were stirred a little bit from a little commentary that Devin and I had after Oberstdorf about qualifying time and time back. And I know you've read I'm assuming you read the stat skier piece, or at least took a glance at it. I'm just kind of curious, like how, you know, as a coach, what was your perspective and how do you kind of keep it real for athletes And when it's like, yeah, okay, you might be in 30th or 32nd in Oberstdorf and 15 seconds back from Klebo, which at the time it's like, wow, that's something we sure should talk about. But I think, you know, Joran brought up a good point. It's like, you know, maybe look at the sixth and seventh and eighth place skier and or in qualification and, you know, how far back you are, or your historical results in qualification. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, as a coach, how did you manage that and talk to the athletes?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, the one thing first that my glance at Joran's stats and his awesome graphs, I think didn't point out, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't talk about the differences in times based on conditions, and perhaps you did in the podcast with Devin.
Not really. Probably.
But, you know, so on a day when the conditions are screaming fast, there just isn't that big of a spread. There's just not that big of a spread. Whereas in Oberstdorf, it was sugary snow, clister covered, huge varieties in skis. You've seen Klebo come through corners and glide 70 meters farther than the next guy. And so that's something that you take into account as well. But I think you're right. You look at how far you are, how far out you are from top 15, first top 30, but top 15, top 10, and anybody that's within striking distance of top 10 on any given day, as Emil Jansson showed us in Sochi, can be a winner. It's hard for anybody right now to beat Klebo, but we will not discriminate between the celebration of winning one of these World Cups and getting third. The party will be just as large.
Okay. Well, it'll be easy to take Klebo in the next week or two or three. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we beat him today. Yeah,
that's right. Okay, thanks, Matt, for your time, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Just a big shout out to anybody listening, but also to all of the, 10, 12, 15,000 fans that showed up here in Falun today. That was a really special event.